Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13 to verse 14. It says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. We read this verse of scripture on Sunday, and I want us to look again at verse 14, okay, tonight. Okay, it says, He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Now let's read Galatians chapter 3, the same Galatians chapter 3. Now let's read verse 29. It says, If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Hallelujah. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Okay, I want something tonight. I believe we probably finished this on Sunday, and if we go beyond that, well, it's a beautiful one. I've decided to call this message, Something is Happening. Hallelujah. Something is happening. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the entrance of your word brings light. It gives understanding to the simple. And as we share in your word tonight, Father, we receive insight. We receive comfort and instruction in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, tonight, that it will not just be another time of fellowship, but it will be a defining moment in our lives. It will mark us, Lord. This moment will mark us, will mark a change, a shift in understanding in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, and we worship you, for in Jesus' name we have prayed, all right? Some of the things we said on Sunday, okay, are relevant to what we are saying tonight. Okay, if you remember on Sunday, I told you that the sacrifice of Jesus has given us access to the blessing of Abraham, okay? The sacrifice of Jesus has given us access to the blessing of Abraham, okay? I told you that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, okay, remained a promise till Pentecost. Now, the Bible says to us in Galatians that the promise given to Abraham, okay, might come to the Gentiles. It says that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. But when you look into the Old Testament, none of them had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so I told you on Sunday that what they called the blessing in the Old Testament is what morphed to what we call the anointing in the New Testament. And I'm careful with the use of that word anointing, because I know that people were anointed in the Old Testament, but you need to understand the anointing in the Old Testament was about ointment, okay? And people were anointed either to be kings, okay, or to be prophets, all right, or to be priests. But in the New Testament, the anointing we're talking about is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's not just oil now. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit, okay? And we're talking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So I told you on Sunday that one major thing the blessing could not produce was transformation. Okay, and so you would people like Abraham, David, Solomon, they enjoyed the blessing, but you would notice that they were not individually transformed. And so one day you see them doing right, and the other day you see them doing wrong because they were not transformed. And I told you again on Sunday that Let's move on. Along with all the other manifestation of the blessing, okay, transformation is God's priority for us in the New Testament. I just want to make sure that we capture everything we talked about, okay, at least as much as possible is relevant to us tonight before we move on, okay? Along with all the other manifestations of the blessing, transformation is God's priority in the New Testament. Now, I said something on Sunday that I want to pick up from and I want to continue tonight. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. But this is what I found out when you read Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 3, and then the rest of the Bible, you would notice first that the God we serve is a God of process. He's a God of process. So sometimes God will declare the end from the beginning and then he will walk his way from the beginning to the end. So when God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, you need to understand that what happened in Genesis chapter 2 was not the total fulfillment of let us make man in our own image. So Adam was, okay, in the process of becoming the image of God. He had a form of the image of God, but before he could enter into the fullness of that image of God, he aborted the process by sin. And so God banished them from the garden, and you would notice God said he banished them from the garden so that they would not eat the tree of life. That was one process, okay, or better still, one step in the process that would have made Adam totally in the image of God. But the process was aborted, okay? How do we know that Adam did not carry the full image of God? Look at what the Bible says. Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says that the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they could not see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So Adam was not the image of God. Christ is the image of God. Okay, look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. It says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Look at Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. And by the way, we're going to be in the Bible tonight. There's a lot of scripture we're going to check out tonight. So follow me fast, okay? Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory. Now, the word glory means nature, character, okay? The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Can I read that again? Hebrews 1:3. It says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Now look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9 to 10. I want to read that one to you from the New Living Translation of the Bible. It says, for in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. So in Genesis 1, God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And I've explained to you how that process started. And you will notice the Bible records that God will come into the garden and fellowship with Adam. I'm going to go deeper into this as we go on. And fellowship with Adam. It was through that fellowship that God was rubbing off on Adam. But the process was aborted, okay, through sin. And from that moment, God's plan was for his sons and daughters to be conformed, or his children or his creation to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, something is happening. I told you on Sunday that the purpose of the Holy Spirit in your life is transformation. Something is happening. And what is happening? You are being transformed. Hallelujah. You are being transformed, okay, by the Holy Spirit that dwells within you, okay? You are being transformed. What are you being transformed into? You are being transformed into the image of God. Can I say something to you? Do you receive this? That our world has only one problem. Just one problem. And the only problem we have in our world is godlessness. Hallelujah. Our only problem is godlessness. Romans chapter 3 and 23 says that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, don't forget every time you hear the word glory means nature. Means character. For all have sinned, and then we have fallen short of the glory of God. And listen to me, God has just only one agenda, okay? And that one agenda is transformation. I want to say something to you, and I want you to receive this. God's priority in your life is that Christ be formed in you, okay? This is what I'm trying to say to you. In case you don't know what God is up to in your life, you know, sometimes some of us, you know, we pray, you know, we go, you know, pray in different directions, and then somewhere along the line, we now say, Father, let your will be done. Let me help you with this. God is not bothered about the fact that you're single and unmarried. God is not bothered about the fact that you don't have a job right now. Follow me closely, I'm going somewhere. God is not bothered about the fact that you're broke or your bank account is in red right now. God is not bothered about any of those things. You know the reason why? Because all of those things are covered by the blessing. And the blessing is on you already. If you belong to Christ, then you are blessed along with faithful Abraham. The blessing is upon you. The only priority of God in your life right now is that Christ be formed in you. You know the reason why? Because that is actually the only thing that is missing in your life. Pastor, you don't understand. It's my husband. You see, your husband is giving you trouble because of the image of Christ that is not fully formed in him. And by the way, the reason why you can't tolerate your husband or you cannot tolerate your wife is because you have not become fully like Christ. Okay, the reason for corruption in our world, the reason why people would steal, the reason why people would cheat, the reason why people will hurt humans is because the image of God is not fully formed in them. Ladies and gentlemen, God had a dream in Genesis 1:26. And listen to me, that dream has not changed. God's objective has not changed. He wants man to become his image. Now, let's look at scriptures. Okay, let's look at scriptures tonight. Romans chapter 8, we're going to go from there tonight. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 to verse 30. It says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined. Now, watch this. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Okay, predestined. Okay, you know the word destined is to fix the end from the beginning. Okay, that's where you get the word destiny. So the Bible says God predestined. So this is not something he's thinking about, watching your behavior and as you're going, no. That has always been his plan. He predestined, okay, that you be conformed to the image of his son, that he, the son, might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Verse 30 now says, and those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Can you see this? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The reason we have issues in our world, we have turmoil in our world, is because we are not carrying that image fully and we are not like Jesus. He predestined us to become the image of Christ. And because of that purpose, he calls, he justifies, and then the Bible says he does what? He glorifies. The word glory means nature. So what does that mean? It means that God is infusing his nature into us. Hallelujah. God is infusing his nature into us. Now, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 to 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 to 18, it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now, look at verse 18. And we all, who with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, nature, okay, are being transformed into his image. Can you see what's going on? See, this is the agenda of God. See, the earlier we line up with this, the easier our relationship with God will be. That there's just one thing God is about in our lives, and it's our transformation. Verse 18 again. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed. Something is happening. What is happening? You are being transformed into what? Into his image. With ever-increasing glory. Can you see that now? Spiritual growth therefore means that you are what? You are taking on the nature of God and you are losing the nature of Adam. Okay? A simple experiment is, and they do this even for the junior church, okay, but this applies to us adults too. You take a glass of water, okay, and you pour halfway, you pour a drink inside, say Pepsi or whatever. Then you take a bottle of water and you begin to pour in that cup. That is what's going on. The nature of God is being poured into us. You know, if you pour in that water, after some time, the cup no longer have any drink but water. And that's what's going on. It's a divine exchange going on. That's what the Holy Spirit is about in your life. When you go into God's presence to pray, listen, you are a magnet. Somebody needs to get this. Oh, but Pastor, I need money. Oh, but Pastor, what I need right now is to get married. Pastor, what I need right now is for my health to be restored. Pastor, what I need right now is to travel. No. What you need right now is to become fully the image of Christ, because everything you need, you are attracted by who you become. And when you look at Jesus when he was here, he had no need whatsoever. Okay? There was no lack, there was no sickness in the life of Jesus. And the more we grow and become like Jesus, the more we would attract all these things. You remember Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33? It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Hallelujah. So it's absurd for us to be seeking the things that we're supposed to be added. What are we supposed to seek? Transformation. That we become Lord, that we become like him. Okay, verse 18 again. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4. What am I doing tonight? I'm trying to show you that God's objective, that God's agenda in your life is that you become like Christ. Okay, that's what everything is all about. Christianity, that's what Christianity is all about. That's what God is up to, okay, in this world. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13, it says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Can you see that? The purpose for pastors, apostles, preachers, and teachers is to equip God's people for the work of ministry. When the people of God do ministry, what is the end? All of us will mature. How do we know we are maturing? How do we measure maturity? It says, until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. How do we know we are mature? Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. So in Ephesians 4, Paul the apostle is telling us, God gave apostles, pastors, and preachers and teachers now. We can see Paul as an apostle and as an evangelist now speaking in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. Look at what he says. He says, my dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Okay, so as a minister, as a pastor, now this message is so liberating. It's not my responsibility to make sure you get married. It's not my responsibility to see that to see to it that your business is prospering. It's not my responsibility to see to it that you have food on your table. Now, God wants you to have food. God wants you to get married. God wants you to prosper. But my assignment is to labor like a woman in childbirth until Christ be formed in you. Why? The moment Christ is formed in you, everything you require is attracted to you. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9 to 10. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9 to 10. It says, do not lie to each other. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices, look at verse 10, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Can you see what's going on? Which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. So what's going on? What's going on is the fact that there was an old man. That's your old self. Then there's your new self. The new self, you've put off the new self. So the Bible says, stop behaving like your old self. But it says something about your new self, that your new self is being renewed. How is the renewal taking place? Through knowledge. How are you being renewed? You are being renewed in the image of Christ, your creator. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. I'm going to round this up tonight, and I'm going to continue on Sunday. I'm sure you're excited at this one. I don't know about you, okay? When I received this message, I was just so excited, so excited. You know what I discovered? And I'm going to show you this from one portion of scripture, and then we'll round up tonight. I found out that God has only one agenda. The devil has only one agenda. And we, the church, have only one agenda, okay? So let me show it to you. God has only one agenda, and that's transformation. Let there be light. The devil has only one agenda, okay? And that is what? Veil the light. Okay, it will kill, steal, and destroy to distract people from the light. You need to put those scriptures together. John chapter 10 and verse 10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But you need to understand everything the devil does is to distract people from the light. This is what I'm trying to say. Now, you know, Jesus speaking said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So let's flip it. If a man loses the whole world, okay, and gains his soul, he has lost nothing. That's what he's saying. If you can keep your soul, if you can not lose your soul, regardless of what you lose materially, you've lost nothing. But if you gain the world and forfeit your soul, then you have lost everything. So you see, the devil would attack people, your health, attack your image, attack your feelings, your emotions, just to distract you from the light, okay? To distract you from the light. And then we, the church, we have only one assignment. Be the light. Spread the light. Hallelujah. I don't want to believe from tonight like me. You can make a switch. You can simplify your life and be focused from this moment. See, I'm not going to be bothered about how much I have or how much I don't have, who likes me or who does not like me, because I know all I need to do is what? Is to be formed in the image of Christ. And then as I grow, my only assignment is to be the light and spread the light. And everything the devil does is to do what? Is to veil me from the light. And God is just about one thing in my life. What is to let there be light, my transformation. So let's look at one portion of scripture that captures all these things I've explained together. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3 to 7, and that's where we are going to end it tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3 to 7, it says, And if our gospel is veiled, now look at this. It is veiled to those who are perishing. Verse 4 says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Can you see this? Okay, whether it's distracting a man with side chicks, it's distracting a single man with loose women, booze, and all of those things, it is a distraction. It's a veil. Some people, it's with greed, okay? They just want money, as much money as they can get. See, everything the devil is doing is to veil people from seeing the light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. Now, look at what the Bible says in verse 5. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. And ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6 says, for God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts. That's our salvation now. To give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Can you see this? Verse 7 says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. The three things I mentioned captured in this scripture. God's agenda, let there be light. So that we can grow from glory to glory and become like Christ. Verse 7 says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. In other words, we have light within us, but externally we are still flesh and blood. We are still humans. So as we interface with the people of the earth, they can see that these guys obviously are humans just like us. But yet they carry something that we don't carry. Hallelujah. And all we have to do is be the light, spread the light. No wonder the Bible says, let your light shine amongst men that they may see your good works. So everything we now begin to do because we have light is what others will see. And then they'll be attracted to our light. The Bible says that kings will come to your light, okay? And they will come to the brightness of your dawn. They will come to your light. So people will be drawn to your light. Hallelujah. That's what this is all about. I'm going to take this further on Sunday. So don't miss Sunday service for anything, but I believe this far you have been truly, 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 truly blessed. Okay, I'm going to pray with you tonight that the message we've heard, and if I'm going to do, let me challenge you before we round up. I will challenge you to listen to this message again, over and over again. It's not something you listen to casually because it's supposed to cause a major shift in our hearts, in our lives. It's supposed to help us simplify our lives. It's supposed to help us sharpen our focus and take away all the distractions and be focused and become all that God has called us to become. And as we adjust, okay, to this word, as we adjust to God's agenda, we would encounter speed. You would see things would happen faster in your life because you'll become a magnet for peace, magnet for helpers of destiny, magnet for everything because the blessing is on you already. Okay, let us pray tonight. Father, we thank you for the word we have heard. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your grace. We thank you because we will not remain the same. I pray for everybody who's been a part of this experience that, Father, you would help us to understand your agenda. You would help us to see what you are about in our lives. And that, Father, the more we become like Jesus, we experience your power, we experience your glory, we experience everything Jesus died for us to possess in the name of Jesus. And much more than that, as we grow in Christ, Father, we shine brighter on the earth and we draw many more people to the kingdom in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, and we worship you. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen and amen.